Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back, everybody, to Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. This is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
That was Harold.
This is Harold.
There you go. We're going to get to that eventually.
Yeah.
So for today's episode, we have a great review for one of the last...
Another review?
Because you demanded it. You asked for it. You wanted it. So we're reviewing one of the last superhero movies of 2018 in this very first week or so of 2019. We are talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Finally, a Spider-Man I can root for.
Yes, Spider. Dennis has been waiting for a while.
Oh, okay. Damn you, Tom Holland.
It's been a while since Tobey Maguire.
Hashtag I hate Tom Holland.
With a passion. Hashtag. So, yeah, one of the...
Hashtags usually come...
Oh, right. Sorry, it comes first. So, one of the great... one of the better movies that come out in this last month of December. There was actually a lot of movies that came out in last December. If you just listened to our year-end review, you know, Dennis talked about Mary Poppins. I personally saw Aquaman. I think there's a couple other movies that came out. But like I said, Spider-Man, I believe, and we'll, you know, I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but one of the better offerings in this past December. So one of the better ones that all three of us thankfully saw. So,
not together, right?
Not together.
No.
You and I watched it together.
As usual.
Scrooge.
Scrooge.
I can't afford Matt.
It's not that AMC movie. We watched it at night. It was still 8:50.
Really? Yeah. In North Hollywood?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I joined that system.
So did I.
Yeah. So, you know, $9 for a month.
For months.
And then $9 a ticket after that. So
$8.50. So before we go into this, Terry Rule is in place, so there will be spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers, man. So
are there going to be spoilers?
Yes, there will be spoilers.
By the way, we need to come up with like a name for this segment, where what Lewis is going to do now, which... You know, we've kind of come to the realization Lewis needs his own shtick. And finally...
I got it. Lose views.
Ooh.
Okay.
They are kind of loose views.
Yes. Cheating Christ.
So, to get the party started, let's go over the plot of the movie real quick.
Lose views.
Those sad trombones.
It's like porn music that's about to be interesting, and then it's like, wah. And then the sad trombone comes out. Maska, wah, wah, wah.
Gotta fix the tracking, dude. All right, so let's get into it. For Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the movie starts by introducing us to Peter Parker in the great little... tool, I guess, or a little gimmick that they use throughout the rest of the movie, where we are introduced to this universe's Spider-Man. He goes over all of his great accomplishments, great nods to, I believe, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, if I'm not mistaken. So we're introduced to him, and then right after that, we meet Miles Morales, who will be our hero for the rest of the movie. He is a middle school child who is going to school at a gifted and talented...
Wait, was he middle school or high school?
I think he's in middle school.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I know. That's what I said, too. I was like, my son's almost in middle school. Might you do something like that? Sorry. Shout out to Noah. Just threw him under the bus.
Why are you getting mad at him for not being Spider-Man, dude? That's messed up, bro.
Come on. Go get bit by Spider-Man.
Yeah. Go risk your life every day.
Do I gotta die? Come on. What do I gotta do? So
stop playing your Fortnite.
No, stop playing Fortnite. Go play with some harmful chemicals. Come back when you have superpowers. So we meet Miles Morales, who is a kind of an underachiever, but he's he is a bright young boy who is whose dad is a cop and a mom who is, I believe, a doctor or a nurse. In the first few minutes, we're introduced to him, and then he is bit by a radioactive spider. So if you don't...
Shocker.
Yes. You go into a Spider-Man movie and somebody gets bit by a radioactive spider. So we meet him. He gets bitten really quickly. he discovers he has powers. He comes back to this to the site where he got bit. Where, lo and behold, he runs into the actual Spider-Man, Peter Parker, in a slugfest with this version of this monstrous Hulk-like, I think that was a Green Goblin, right? Fighting the Green Goblin in what is called the Super Collider. Take note of that name because that is the gimmick, the MacGuffin that we will be using for the rest of the movie. So the Super Collider was being used by this version of Kingpin, who was literally a block of a black box with a head in the middle. The design is kind of weird, but, you know, Kingpin, you know, his head was, like, literally in his chest.
Why would it be a black box?
If it was a black box looking dude, right? Anyway, look it up. It was like a black Dorito, if you think of it. It's like a triangle. Anyway, all right, so I digress. This happens in the first
20
This happens in the first 20 minutes. Now, here is where I personally took a punch to the gut, because like I said, when the movie opens, we're introduced to this movie's version of Spider-Man. And, you know, going from the ads, I personally thought, "Oh, this is going to be the guy who's going to be teaching Miles Morales to be Spider-Man." But in the first 30 minutes, this version of Spider-Man is killed. Brutally and effectively and dead.
Finally,
yes, finally dead.
Did you say he was effectively?
Effectively, creatively. Not even creatively. He just like took a Macho Man double elbow from the top row from Kingpin, and he was dead. Like, I honestly thought, I was like, oh, I'm sure he'll get better, and he didn't. He was like, the next scene was, funeral for a friend, basically. He's like, oh my god, he died. But before he dies, Peter Parker tells Miles, he realizes that Miles has the same powers, and he encourages Miles, take this MacGuffin, or this little thumb drive, basically, the goober, and, you know, turn off this machine, because it's gonna destroy our world. What happened during the fight, however, is that the Super Collider was actually a doorway to different dimensions. What happened during the fight with the Green Goblin is different Spider-Man from different universes come to Miles' New York, to his version of New York, where they all meet up, and through some very great tests and some very great moments, they realize that they're all Spider-Men, spider beings, spider people, because there is Spider-Ham, who is almost a cartoonish version, a Warner Brothers cartoonish version of Spider-Man, Spider-Gwen, who is Gwen Stacy with superpowers, with spider powers. Penny Parker, who is basically an anime character with a spider mech. Spider-Man Noir, who was played by Nick Cage, which was great. And I think I caught every... Oh, I'm sorry. And last but not least, Peter B. Parker, who I think he was supposed to be like comic book Spider-Man, because he's supposed to be the older version who's gone through... Like, if you listeners read the comic books... comic book Peter Parker has been through the ringer. He's the one who's gotten married, gotten divorced, had a child, lost a child. You know, Aunt May died, Aunt May came back. You know, been killed, been buried
alive.
Gave up being Spider-Man. Gave up on Mary Jane. Found, you know, Gwen Stacy died for him. So I felt like this was the comic book version that was in there. So again, through a lot of trials and tribulations, we find out that... it can't be a Spider-Man movie without a dead uncle. We find out that...
Which, by the way, I was going to mention that there has to be a dead uncle. Like, I should have known.
I know. So, we'll discuss this later during our discussion, but it turns out, if you know the comic books, Miles Morales' uncle is the comic book villain, the Prowler. In a great moment, it was, the Prowler was trying to hunt down Miles for the goober, and he holds him in place. He's about to kill him until Miles unmasks, and his uncle realizes, this is my nephew, I can't kill him. And in another great evil turn, the Kingpin shoots him dead in the back. No questions about it. Again, in like the first hour, two deaths, scarring poor Miles Morales. Uncle dead, yeah, you know. Potential father figure and Peter Parker dead. Uncle dead. So there you go. We're checking off the list of Spider-Man origin stories. And then at the end, you know, just to wrap it up nice and quickly, the team comes together. Miles finds himself becoming the new Spider-Man because of a little bit of introspective, a little bit of a pep talk from both Peter B. Parker and from his own dad, the police officer. And they save the day. All the spider people go back to their respective dimensions. And at the end, to wrap it up, to kind of bookend the great movie, Miles gets his own version of the I Am Spider-Man, This Is My Origin Story.
For the last time, yes.
So, great. That's the movie. That's the splat. Wow. So, there you go. That's the movie. So
News views!
Very loose.
Which, by the way, 9 minutes. You're getting there.
You said give it to 2 minutes.
You're getting there.
I'm
proud of you. I'm proud of you.
So what Dennis likes to do during these reviews is we'll do like just let's go around the table, quick review. Did you like it? Did you hate it? What did you think of the movie?
I'll start. I really enjoyed it. And again, maybe it's because it lacks Tom Holland.
it was already ahead of the curve.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the things I really liked about it is, let's just start with that. I liked it. It was okay. A good movie. Great action sequence. The art graphics was amazing. I thought the people that portrayed the voice actors did a great job. Overall, amazing movie.
It was all right.
Okay.
Yeah, it was awesome.
By the way, this was going to be his number one.
It's going to be my number one movie. I don't really want to go into too much detail about it because we're probably going to do that later. But first comic book movie that looked like an actual comic book.
Yeah.
And like visually stunning. A great storyline. I do have qualms about it, but that's, very minor quibbles about everything. But very enjoyable. And it made you forget about all those.
Yeah.
All those, Homecoming wasn't as bad as some people in this room like to project it to be.
It was terrible.
What makes you forget, the amazing.
We'll just pretend that,
Andrew Garfield. Watch Andrew Garfield.
Now you're talking crazy talk, bro. but it's fun.
Hashtag, I love Andrew Garfield over Tom Holland.
That's a long hashtag.
But the funnest thing for me was when they did the flashbacks. Was the fact that they did flashbacks of the Raimi ones and completely ignored anything that happened in between there. Where it was just like, when you're just watching it, it's like, oh, hey! Like, literally the whole movie is Easter eggs.
Yes. I love that.
So, this is what it was fun about the movie is, like Lewis said, if you're a novice to any of this whole thing, you can jump into it and just enjoy the story for what it was. And if you're even in an intermediate, it's like you'll remember things here and there, and it's like you get your little flashbacks and your callbacks. But if you really delve into the whole history of everything, and you just watch the movie, you have to watch the movie more than once because you're spending half the time finding references. So
I agree. For me, quick review. I love this movie. If you listen to our year in review last week, I said that this was my favorite movie because like I said. It feels like it crosses generations, it crosses, fandoms in a sense that, you can be a total casual to a total fanboy and you'll get something out of it. So definitely recommended, one of the better movies, not even just animated or superhero, just better movies, period. So let's go into it. So what is it exactly that, let's go into it. Dennis and Harold already kind of mentioned the art style, so let's go with that. What did you guys think of the art style that they used for this movie?
I think Harold kind of mentioned something along the lines of visually stunning and all those things. For me, it was jarring, and in a good way.
Okay,
the fact that they were able to take the 2D and then incorporate some 3D effects. They were able to take the 3D graphics, incorporate 2D effects into it, and it especially right when Miles Morales, all of a sudden, when he got bit, when you realize he has powers, and it's just all the you see text boxes and
effects and everything. Such a great touch! Yeah,
you're looking and go, oh my god! At first, I couldn't really appreciate it, but the more I thought about it after the fact, the more I kind of started combining the two. It's like, my god, it was one of the few times where an animated TV, an animated movie looked like an actual comic book.
Yeah. The first thing that's automatically pops out is just how different the animation is compared to a regular animation. It's, you feel like it could be hand-drawn, but it does have that CGI feel.
Mm.
So where there's so many things that can be happening that shouldn't be able to be done, you know, like hand-drawn and kind of thing. And I was asking Dennis when we were watching it, because, you know, me and Dennis watched the movie together.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we can afford HD.
Pretty too much, man.
So that's where Dennis made a mistake, is he should have purchased...
Did he pay for you?
No, he should have purchased... I was telling him he should have purchased the membership first, so he would have got the free ticket, and then two more tickets. But he purchased the membership after the fact. So, I mean, you know.
Which, by the way, Lou, you got 20% off, like, popcorn and all those things.
Yeah, so instead of, like, $30 popcorn,
I was gonna say. $28.99. For a small.
No refill.
Shout out to Cinemark.
They could be our next product sponsor. But what I was saying, Dennis, is that it seemed for a second like you should be watching this in 3D, where the outside lines and, like, the little blurs, it's like... Did we mistakenly go into a 3D film without 3D glasses?
Oh, yeah.
But the more it kind of distracts you for a second, but the more you see those things, it's like it starts to develop the rest of the world and everything starts popping out. It literally reminded me of the fact that before, with the 3DS, without having actual 3D, like, glasses and everything, you're seeing it in three dimensions.
Oh, when you, like, turn on the...
When you turn on the... Yeah. Switch, oh, yeah. You know? And like, when the things started popping out, I was like... Did Sony put a giant 3DS on the screen and start switching the button when we're like not looking at everything? But yeah, people had been, before we had gone in to see the movie, I'd already heard about people saying that this is game changing animation and that Sony was actually trying to, you know, copyright the animation style, which seems like a crazy thing to do,
yeah.
But like, you know, the fact that it came out looking exactly how it looked, you know, if they're able to copyright that, you know, good for them.
Yeah, the style was basically, it felt like, I was trying to think of what other movies have tried to pull off the comic book feel, because I did read a lot, after seeing the movie, I couldn't help but, like, I ran to my phone, how do you run to your phone? I Googled, like, you know, whatever articles I could find about Into the Spider-Verse, and a lot of the decisions were, you know, a lot of it were nods to us comic book fans of, like, you know, some of the coloring was off because back in the 80s, whenever they'd mass print these comic books, you know, some of the colors would look a little bit off, and that was on purpose. And then, like, I love that little nod, like what Dennis said was when he got the powers, that's when the little thought bubbles came up, because that's like your cue saying, now we're a superhero movie. You know, and it was great. And then I was trying to think of, like, what other movies try to do it. I think Ang Lee's Hulk tried to do it.
Ooh.
To very, like, it's...
No. Scott Pilgrim.
Exactly. That was the one that I thought that was the best, like, attempt previously, was Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Such a great translation of comic book to film. But obviously, you know, Edgar Wright was restricted to whatever he could do with physical actors.
Live action.
So, yeah, with live action actors. But, you know, this one, correct me if I'm wrong, Harold, the creators of Spider-Man were Lord and Miller, the guys
The Lego movie.
Yeah, the guys who did Lego movie, the guys who were supposed to do Solo.
They did 21 Jump Street.
You're right, a lot of great, like, you know, humor. I didn't know they had this in them. Like, so many great nods to, like, comic books, to history, to the lore, just a lot of the little things that was just aesthetically, like, amazing to look at. I've only seen it once, and I'm actually kind of tempted because I've heard a review somewhere or heard a review online where if you watch in 3D, it actually adds a little bit more, a little bit of, like, what Dennis is saying about the confusion of, like, wait, did we walk into a 3D movie and not get the glasses? But I heard, like, watching a 3D might actually... Oh, I'm sorry, Harold said that. I'm sorry. It would actually enhance the movie even more. So we're looking at the aesthetics. How about the story? I know you said earlier, Harold, that you had a little qualms about the story. What did you think about it? Like, it's very sci-fi. Like, they did, they kind of, like, passed over the science of, like, we made a machine. It can skip dimension. Whatever.
Those issues I really don't have anything with is the Prowler himself.
Okay.
My biggest issue has just been that character. It's like, it was such a brief introduction to him as an uncle that, for me, when he gets shot, it's not as emotionally investing. Even though technically when I was watching it, I was like, I can imagine myself, and then seeing what if my nephew was fucking Spider-Man.
What if you had Jackson?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, holy Jackson. I was like, so I was having that dream in my head. I was like, this guy's living the dream right here, bro. But it's like, yeah, for me, that emotional impact should have been a lot stronger in terms of developing their relationship a lot deeper instead of just the passing, the one night they spent together, and then it's like they were kind of forcing it where it was like, yeah, my uncle will be the person that you need to do this for me. And I really wanted them to really develop their relationship a lot better and a lot stronger, so that when the reveal came that he was the villain that almost killed him in the first part, and then B, when the reverse reveal, when he shows that he's Spider-Man to his uncle, like, I was hoping that was just a little bit stronger. But that's just me, because I'm very picky about certain things like that. And, that's just one of my issues.
One of my biggest gripes, and again, I love the show, I love the movie, but one of my gripes, and not really that big, was I feel that they added so many people, so many characters into it, that it was supposed to be a Miles Morales show. And yes, 2/3 of the time it was Miles Morales, mm-hmm. but then trying to add something about Penny Parker, something they tried to do a little bit of Spider-Gwen, they tried to do Peter B. Parker and all those things. There were so many different storylines going on that you, as Harold kind of pointed out, that they kind of ran out of time to kind of flesh out a lot of the things. I hate to be the comic book guy, and like. the Prowler, like the way they started off was like, oh my god, they really are going to try to go be faithful to the Prowler in the comic books, and that's exactly how it is. Where the brother of the two brothers, one is one not a cop in the comic book, but this guy who's a thug basically, who loves Miles but is a bad influence, and in the comic book he is the Prowler, but he's a total jerk. There's no redeeming here. Here it was a streamlined process, and it worked for what they were looking for. For casuals who have never watched, who have never read the comic book, this was a great introduction to the Miles Morales character. One testament to how good it was, my daughter actually appreciated it. It was one of the first times, I think it was the second movie in her 7 years or however old she is. for a second movie in this 7 years, where she was actually glued onto the chair watching it. And so story wise I thought, aside from that minor gripe of lack of development because of way too many people, I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, going back to that scene that Harold was talking about, like, I honestly did not know where they were going to go when Prowler had Miles in his hand and Miles unmasks, and then Prowler, for whatever reason, or not whatever reason, he slowly puts the mask back on. For whatever reason, I thought, he's going to kill him. That's like his way of saying, if I don't know it's you, I can choke you to death. Like, oh my god. I was about to, like...
Maybe this is a mask too.
I know.
How'd you get a mask of my nephew?
He's going to just keep peeling away until he starts bleeding. Oh, jeez. So, speaking of the Prowler, what did you guys think of the movie's villains? Because, again, spoiler alert minutes ago, but this actually felt like they almost had just as many villains as they did Spider-Man 3 folks. Yeah, they almost had the Spider-Man 3 problem. But what did you guys think of the villains that they introduced into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, I thought it was two-dimensional. It was pretty much every... aside from... I mean, even the uncle becoming the Prowler, it was already expected. At least that was for me. It was... Kingpin, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
They spent so much time on the uncle that you're like, okay, fine. So everything was so... it was a cut and paste for me that it didn't really enhance the movie, but thankfully the characters Miles and all and the rest and the drama that he was experiencing, I think that was able to kind of overcome the lack of the villain for me.
Yeah, I kind of liked how they tried to. I mean, it wasn't really shoehorning it, but you know, at least they gave a reason for why the Kingpin wants to turn on this, you know, the super collider, that he, you know, he unintentionally caused the death of his wife and his son because he saw him, you know, they saw him fighting Spider-Man, and I guess they didn't know that he was a bad guy. So yeah, I like that. I mean, it wasn't like as fleshed out as I would have liked. It's not a Killmonger, you know, evil story per se, but you know, it's really good. I also actually really like this version of Doc Ock. Doc Ock was a really funny surprise as one of the funnier moments, I guess, when, you know...
Well, see, that's the thing. I completely forgot the Doc Ock was
a villain. Yeah. Yeah, well, it was one of the funnier moments when she had Peter B. Parker strapped to the chair and saying, you know, you're going to die, and I'm going to enjoy watching it. And, like, even, you know, my son and I were watching it together, and I could even feel Noah going, like, what? And then she slowly reveals her the tentacle arms, and is like, okay, that's like pretty brilliant. That's pretty clever how they pulled that off. So yeah, kudos to that. And then, you know, good. Yeah.
I the only thing that kind of tripped me out was the fact that I like going into movies knowing the bare minimum, so I'm surprised by everything there, and it's like nothing's ever ruined for me. But I was surprised that following the fact that he's been the main character in all their Daredevil things, that they would use the Kingpin.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah, I know, and I know he's a central character in the video game too, but I mean, he is a villain that is shared in both universes very strongly, but to have a character who's concurrently played, you know, being seen on a TV screen or, you know, wherever you guys consume Netflix game. And a video game. And it felt like a little bit of character overexposure.
Yeah,
you
have, you oversaturated. Know, a little bit. Yeah,
just having the same guy. If they had just focused on, you know, their Octavius being,
yeah.
Octavia, right? Yeah, but you know, their version of Dr. Octopus, because like I said, my favorite villain for most of the movies has been Doc Ock in, you know, Spider-Man 2, and you know, you have. It for a while it did seem like that whole, you know, Batman Forever, Spider-Man 3, way too many villains for one movie kind of deal. And it's like, it would have been fine had it been a different villain for a different Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, okay, I see what you mean.
Different Spider characters, where it's like an individual ones, you know, but having them all be the villains, and I guess, you know, that's kind of the typical thing anyways, but like what Dennis said, it's like it's hard to do character development when there's so many characters going on at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, well, actually, speaking of too many, one of the questions I had lined up was, of all the spider people they had, who was your favorite?
That's a good question. Easy answer is Miles.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it is his story. But I was a fan of Peter B. Parker, just because
he speaks to me. I don't know why.
And I don't know who said it, but I was like, man, you know, I don't know if Lewis said it, and if Lewis, you didn't say it, I apologize. But somebody said Lewis should cosplay as Spider B. Parker.
Dude, this messed up. No, I did say that. Okay. Because I said Noah should be Miles. Because exactly. I'm like, height wise, we're perfect. Oh, and man. I got the gut. So, it's like, so next year's Comic Con, look for Lewis as Peter B. Parker. Sweats in a Spider Man shirt.
Thank God it was you.
No, it was me.
It was me, really.
I think Miles was a great, strong main character. But for some reason, I was very happy seeing John Mulaney play.
Oh, play Spider-Man, right.
Like, on a movie screen, and it's just like, Because it's, you know, he has a very distinct voice, and it's like,
you do
John Mulaney telling jokes the whole time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you drop a John Mulaney reference almost every other podcast.
I do.
And if you follow him on Twitter.
It's been a lot of John Mulaney and for some reason, Louis C.K. stuff. So let's not talk about that. I'm being negative about him, I swear.
Right.
No, like he had the right idea. No, please don't edit that.
So for me, like I said, like you guys already said, Miles has been a great Spider-Man. So was Jake Johnson. Yeah, he played Peter B. Parker. He is from The New Girl, which I think Harold, I followed it. I watched that show for the first season or so. Unfortunately, I fell off. I think Harold still watches it. But yeah, like
it's he's already, been. Man.
It's already. Oh wow. Okay.
Sorry.
He was starting to praise it and how great it is.
Preemptively canceled. Jeez. So he's just a good comedic actor. So I really dig that. For me, like for whatever reason, I think it's because like my National Treasure was on TV a couple weeks ago. So Nick Cage as Spider-Man Ward just like was so weird and funny to me that I dug it, and to the point where. Like, this movie, or the series could probably go in, like, all different directions, you know, following all of the spider people, the beings. Because each of them, like, they teased, all of them was teased that little intro of, like, my name is Spider-Man, and this is my story. And it almost makes you want to go, go further into there, or, like, go deeper into that. Spider-Man War, like, really spoke to me. It was funny how, like, is there wind in this cave? Because why is this cave billowing? So, like, just, you know, it's just absurd, but funny in the comic book sense. So I like Spider-Man War, his design and everything.
My, the one character aside from Miles and Peter B. Parker was Gwen Stacy's.
We gotta talk about
Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman.
I don't think she was called Spider-Gwen.
Yeah. In the comic book that they had in the movie, they called it Spider-Gwen. And even in the comic book stores, it is Spider-Gwen. But yeah, okay. So he calls herself Spider-Woman. But yeah, go ahead.
You know, what? One of the things that I really dug about this movie is the idea of inclusivity.
Yes.
I think that's the word I'm looking for. You know, you finally have a Peter Parker who is, a Spider-Man who is not, you know, a Caucasian man or a teenager. You have a strong female character. Hell, you have a pig. you have an Asian girl as a character. So, but I thought that her character had a lot of potential, and I think it's Haley
Stanton.
Thank you. The actress who voiced her did really well. I hear that they're actually going. She's going to be the first, aside from Miles Morales, a Spider-Man 2. They're actually going to do a Spider-Gwen.
Yes, I heard about spin-off, that. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that is the most logical sense for any character spin-off.
Yeah. And the one thing that I was kind of confused with, especially now that I realize that Miles Morales Spider-Man is a middle schooler, the fact that Gwen Stacy and Miles Morales are making goo-goo eyes with each other.
But I think she's supposed to be middle school too, because she mentioned because I think she mentioned somewhere that like, oh, I'm like 15 months older. I'm like, it's the kind of.
That means she's like 15.
Yeah.
That means she's in high school.
That means statutory. Sorry.
Oh, awkward.
Wow. Jeez. We're just doing like.
Son of a goodness.
I'm gonna have to.
Son of a goodness.
I don't want to bleep my own thing, that's why. But yes, Spider-Gwen, especially when when Force Awakens came out, and then The Last Jedi, it was cool to see that with my daughter had like a strong female figure to look up to, and for this one, Spider-Gwen was kick-ass. Right. She was funny. She was strong. She wasn't dependent on Miles Morales or anybody else to do anything. She was, in fact, she was the one in a way helping out, saving Peter B. Parker and Miles Morales at the beginning. So I thought her character was well done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's her and, obviously Miles got the most screen time, but I think her and Peter B. like probably shared just as much screen time. So I dug that a lot too. Okay, I'm not sure how we're doing on time, but let me ask you guys real quick. Like Carol already mentioned, this movie has a little bit of something for everyone, but what were your guys' favorite Easter eggs? Easter eggs meaning like a little, you know, for the casuals out there who are listening for the first time, Easter eggs are basically little nods that filmmakers put or, you know, creators put in their product that says, hey, we are fans too. We know about this stuff. So personally, I kind of loved, like I said, one of the tropes or one of the things they used was that like quick little like minute intro for all of them. But then my favorite part was at the end, they would slap like a comic book on the screen with that character's name, the name of the comic book, and then the creators, you know, the comic book creators. So like for Miles Morales' case, when they put his name down, you know, they put Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli, who created Miles Morales, in the actual comic book. So I really dug that great little Easter egg for us comic book fans.
One, I don't know if it's an Easter egg, but one cool thing I liked was the original, I guess the original Spider-Man, that movie, the one who died,
mm-hmm.
Was supposed to have had done all these things where he even had like a Christmas, like,
oh yeah, yeah, Christmas album.
The one Easter egg for me was that after the fact, they actually came out with an Easter.
Did they really?
Yeah, the Christmas album.
Wait a second.
You were like, at least I was able to hear at least two songs based really? On it. It was so I guess after the fact type thing, but I'll still count it as an Easter egg.
Harold, oh, that's pretty meta.
I told it has to be the very last end credit.
Oh yeah, the post credits. Yeah,
the very last post credit was probably my favorite post credit ever, in the fact that it was funny, it was poignant, and it kind of brought to fruition something that I think I had mentioned previously somewhere. Because I remember
Normally we kind of talk about which end credit that we
yeah.
It is. So would you want to remind everybody what it is?
The very, very, very last credit is... it's just... I'm trying to picture it in my head again, but it's... Besides the fact that it's the meme thing, where, you know, Spider-Man pointing at another Spider-Man, which yeah. is still hilarious, the Spider-Man that they brought out was Spider-Man 2099.
Right, Miguel O'Hara.
And it's like, I specifically remember when we were talking about how characters we'd like to see onto the movie screens or into some kind of the MCU, and I was like, it'll be interesting if they ever brought out a Spider-Man 2099 kind of thing. And I had just always jokingly had that in the back of my head, and the fact that it came onto the screen, and I was like, like when the outfit came out, I was like, oh, what? and then you have him pointing at the other Spider-Man, and I was like, damn it, this is so good. I literally just want to watch this movie again just to get to that Easter egg, just to get to that very last end credit. It's, you know, the fact that it's a computer animated movie, an animated movie, means that the credits are really, really long.
Yeah.
So to wait.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To wait for this thing, I mean, and the mid credit was really awesome too. The fact that the dedication to Stan Lee.
Oh right, yes.
They're both of the creators, unfortunately, passing before this movie comes out, and you know, to see one of the better versions of their character ever put onto a screen, you know, they never got to see it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
So actually, the great pull with that Spider-Man 2099. What surprised me the most actually too was, you know, I don't know if it's really an Easter egg, but did you guys look at the list of the voice actors they got for this movie? It's like
Chris Pine.
Yeah, Chris Pine
I'm still
was
trying to figure out who Chris Pine is.
He was the first Spider-Man, the one who died.
Oh,
yeah,
I told you that in.
Yeah,
I don't listen to you.
Okay.
What was that again? And then Miguel O'Hara was Poe Dameron. It was Oscar Isaac who played. I mean, like it was a 1 minute skit of him pointing. Stop pointing at me! You're pointing at me! Like they got Poe Dameron to do that. And then so
you call him Poe Dameron.
You call him. I was like, what's his real name? I don't know.
Apocalypse. Come on.
Yeah.
Poe Dameron.
okay. So
wait a minute. He was Poe Dameron. Nicolas Cage was Cameron Poe.
Dude.
Okay, dude, if you can pull out a third line, you win.
I got this.
Okay, check it. Just check it.
That was already enough for me. Wow.
No, but that was great. But imagine I would have quit. Like, we would have finished this podcast. I would have just said,
yes. Same send. Same post now.
Harold Witt?
You almost won. You're that close.
I could close the podcast
for this room. Where's the Malkovich in this?
Malkovich.
You could have gone with Edgar Allan Poe or something. I don't know. Oh, no. Nick Cage played it.
John
Mulaney.
Here's something funny John Mulaney said. Okay, so, you know, to kind of basically wrap it up, I guess, I don't know if we're good with time, what I wanted to ask you guys was, with all the live action, or the, not even live action, let's just call it all the film versions of Spider-Man, how would you rank?
Better than...
I know. So, if I'm not mistaken, all the wide-release theatrical versions of Spider-Man, there have been seven. So there's three of the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, two of the Andrew Garfield's Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man Homecoming, and then this one, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So where would you guys, how would you guys rank those seven movies? Obviously, for Dennis, number seven with a bullet is going to be Homecoming, maybe to be replaced by Far From Home next year when it comes out.
Last for me would be Andrew Garfield number two.
Okay. Like, oh, okay. So like, that's even worse
movie.
Than
yeah. That, that's just a terrible movie. Yeah, that, was, that's like the Batman and Robin of
Spider-Man
movie. Yeah. I mean, that pretty much, like, he was Mr. Freeze pretty much.
Green Goblin.
Jamie Foxx or Green Goblin?
Because they're both pretty atrocious.
Paul Giamatti was pretty Tommy Lee Jones.
For all the 2 minutes he was there with that horrible
Oscar
Russian Mary, accent.
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, with a horrible Russian accent.
Yeah, number seven for me would be that. Spider-Man 3 is Venom, right?
Yes, so Venom and New Goblin and Sandman.
That's really hurtful. That hurts too. I would go number six for that one. Number five, and I know I can't believe I'm putting him there. Of Tom Holland.
So you love him.
Tom Holland would be number five. I actually have a soft spot for Andrew Garfield just because his chemistry with Emma Stone was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I'd put
in the first movie,
I'd put him at four.
Just her.
For sure.
Just by power of Gwen Stacy alone.
And Miles Morales. Spider-Man would be somewhere in there.
Like, okay.
I don't think number one, just because Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man still, for me, redefined what Spider-Man's supposed to be. I'm pretty sure, it hasn't really aged as well as we would hope for it would, but, it's still such a classic take on it that I'd put Miles Morales maybe around three or two.
Cool.
I had seen a lot of people saying that it was the greatest comic book movie of all time, and I thought that was a little bit of hyperbole. And then watching it, I was like, this is truly hyperbole, because it's a great movie. Is it the greatest superhero movie of all time? No. Is it the greatest maybe superhero animated movie of all time?
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility. There's a lot of good DC animated
Mask
movies.
Of the Phantasm is the
Beyond the... Return of the Joker.
Yeah, Return of the Joker.
I still love that movie. But, and for me, it's never going to be the best Spider-Man movie. Because for me, it's always going to be Spider-Man 2. And I always do this, but it's like, I put it on a plateau so high because, I mean, you have the rise and fall and the rise again of Spider-Man. And you have a villain who's actually compelling, where... It's like he is not completely a villain, and it's like some of his motivation is based on trying to improve everything, and then the only way for him to improve things is to, and unfortunately, have to do bad things to do it. So
steal the tritium.
Yeah, and like you know, and then you got douchebag freaking Harry over there just chilling in the corner, and but the one movie that has a great mixture of heart action, comedy, gelled into one whole movie where it's like you can pick up anywhere in that movie and you can enjoy the rest of that movie.
Yeah.
And this one, I think maybe with repeat viewings, I'll learn to love it almost as much, but and it's not anything to do with the characters and everything. I think it is the fact that, you know, it starts out with way too much already. So we're learning, as in Spider-Man 2, you have that origin story, so that's out of the way already. Yeah. And you can get right into the meat of the story, whereas in this
one... They had like five origin stories for
this. Yeah. and then that was kind of the one thing that... I know it was a good... It was a good gimmick, but yeah. The third time, I was like, seriously?
And at the very, very end.
I was like, come on, stop it. And then some people were like, yeah, again. I'm like, no. No, rule of three, bro. Like, stop after the third one. That's, you know. But overall, a great movie. Like I said, would have been probably my favorite movie of 2018. I didn't want to review it, I guess, in such a quick, short way in that last episode. But yeah, top three, top four favorite movies of the last past year. So
awesome. For me, I think I agree with you guys. Maybe it's just a generational thing, but Spider-Man 2 still tops for me. And even, like, now to think of it, even Spider-Verse acknowledges that Spider-Man 2 was great, because when they showed that nods of, like, here's what I've done as a hero...
Most of it was
Spider-Man. Exactly. Like, 70% of it was, like, him stopping the runaway train, him punching the taxi cab being thrown into the cafe.
Yeah.
So it's like, those are all nods to Spider-Man 2, and then the one that they make fun of is him dancing
in
Spider-Man 3. So, you know, solid job. So for me, yeah, Spider-Man 2... And I would actually put Into the Spider-Verse as the second movie. Like, as much as I love the first Sam Raimi installation, it did kind of drag a little bit. It's still good, but, you know, it's not, I'm not sure how well it still holds up. And then rounding up the rest of it, I would go Homecoming, Spider-Man 3. This is too high. Spider-Man 3, and then unfortunately, as much as I love the chemistry between Garfield and Stone, like, it was just the first Amazing Spider-Man, I just did not like the costume. I just couldn't get over it. I hated being that fanboy. It was like, what Spider-Man costume is that? Like, sometimes deviating from the costume is fine, but for this, for whatever reason,
webbing is different.
Yeah, his eyes are yellow. What is that?
I just remember...
Is he wearing sneakers?
I just remember not being entertained by the first one.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then being like, you know...
Which first one?
The first the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, got it.
The first Andrew Garfield one. Where it was okay, but like, you know, unnecessary at the time. And then to have a sequel, and literally when I was in the theater, I was like, why am I doing this again? It's like me and the Transformers, like, they're getting it right this time, right?
Nope.
Still not happening? Nope. All right, cool. And then, yeah.
Yeah, we got burned. So yeah, that would be it for me. And then, yeah, same reason that Dennis had for Amazing Spider-Man 2, just way too bloated, way too many bad guys. It was basically Batman and Robin in the Spider-Verse, so better left forgotten and not spoken about. So I highly doubt that version of Spider-Man is going to show up in any of the future Spider-Verse comics. So, how are we doing on time?
We're good.
Okay, where do you guys think... So Dennis already kind of alluded to it earlier. I don't want to go too far. He alluded to it earlier that there will be a spin-off Spider-Gwen movie. Where else do you guys think this movie's gonna go? Like, I think there's obviously a lot of great potential just by virtue of saying that there are different dimensions, there are different Spider-Men. Where would you guys like it to go? Where do you want it to go? Where do you think they're gonna go?
I'm kind of want John Mulaney to do a Spider-Ham TV show.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cartoon. Oh yeah,
it has to be a TV
perfect
show.
Perfect for that. Yeah.
Because yeah, the more I thought about it, I was like, the main those characters, those other side characters besides Gwen and Peter B. don't deserve a full movie, obviously. Yeah. They're like, you know, complementary characters.
Yeah.
And yeah, little 5 minute shorts with those guys, that'd be funny.
Yeah, like a Teen Titans Go kind of, like, yeah. 10 minute show, that'd be great. I totally agree. I think the other spider people, spider beings, except for...
You can't use that word.
Is that their word? My bad. You know, they would probably be good for like maybe a DVD extra, a Blu-ray extra of like, this is a look into Spider-Man Noir's, you know, Nazi punching and egg cream drinking. That was one of his orders. Yeah, I just saw it, so it's fresh in my head. So I kind of dig that. I've also heard rumor that, you know, they're going to try, you know, I'm going to duck because Dennis is going to throw something at me, but, you know, there's talk about trying to fold in, you know, Venom and Homecoming Spider-Man into some kind of version of this. Maybe eventually. I don't know how they can pull it off, but, you know.
I think that's a bad idea. I think they should keep these...
The MCU.
Yeah, keep the entities separate. Like, not even include... Like, the only thing that I think that should ever cross over is probably Venom into the Homecoming things. Like, Spider-Man things. That's the only properties I think that should cross over. And that's probably it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine how you'd cast a middle school kid or a high school kid as Miles Morales in a live action movie, but
you never know. I don't know if that's insulting, but I think Miles Morales, where Miles Morales is, like, make that into a big time franchise. You don't need, because you're gonna have to redo, basically remake it again, another reboot. Film. You know, and as you guys are complaining about Amazing Spider-Man, you know, rebooting as Spider-Man is not always a good idea.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And then the third time around, it even sucked worse. What part of Homecoming did you actually like?
I liked how it was high school Peter Parker. Like, you know,
was Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Tobey Maguire physically just didn't feel like a high school kid. Like, even if, I think he was 20-something.
So that's it.
But it's still better than Amazing Spider-Man. Because I really, the only...
But Andrew Garfield was a high school...
No way. 30.
Yeah, dude, he looked like, you know...
No, but we're talking about the actual storyline.
Okay, yeah.
He was a senior throughout that whole thing.
That's true.
Yeah, he is a senior.
He was a skateboarding extreme.
But here's the thing. Everybody talks about how much they love Homecoming, and I love the fact that we're veering off from here. Everybody loves Homecoming, but nobody can tell me exactly what they like about it. Oh, he's funny. Oh, you know, but what's the redeeming value of that movie? What's the redeeming value of that character in that movie? Ned? There you go.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. I will go with Ned. Ned right there.
Not even what's that guy's name? Michael Keaton? Vulture was okay with him? No, didn't even do
it. Was okay.
Didn't do anything for you.
He was okay. Like, again, it was a generic. It was another generic, or as Harold said, the other guy,
generic,
you know, villain. But nothing. Everybody hyped it up so much that everybody, oh my God, the next. You know, it's the second coming of Spider-Man.
I know we're veering, but whatever. This is our podcast.
He's going to tell us what to do.
Apple's
going to
tell us what to do. I am kind of with Lou on the whole, the John Hughes kind of version of Spider-Man. But it's a better... He's a better Spider-Man than he is a Peter Parker. And it's great to have that balance. But like Dennis said, and we talked about this last year, but the whole... being too integrated with Iron Man character and like the whole that thing, if they had done away with that, a much better movie.
I would actually agree with that. The fact that he as Spider-Man didn't earn, aside from being basically he's somebody who won the lotto.
Right.
You know, I got powers. Okay. Somebody noticed me. Fine. Now I have a suit. What the hell did you do that makes you Spider-Man? Nothing. You know, that was the beauty of Peter Parker, and not even Tobey Maguire. We're just talking about the comic books. The fact that he created his suit, the fact that he, you know, did all these things, he figured it out on his own, and not some sort of mysterious benefactor who wants to be with your Aunt May.
Yeah.
So I mean, do you think Holland's story would have benefited from an Uncle Ben story? Or...
No, that story is way too...
Yeah, okay, that's like killing Martha and Pa Wayne again. Okay, you're right. I don't remember his name. I just remember Martha.
Thomas.
Martha!
Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name? Thomas.
Which, by the way, I know I just went off on Tom Holland, But one thing I'm just all of a sudden I can't believe we failed to mention is how interesting some of the reiterations of the characters there. Aunt May was such a great character.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for catching that. Yeah. It was played by
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin. Yes. Thank you. I guess one of those that I kind of glossed over when I first saw it, but some podcasts and some reviewers actually kind of mentioned that she might have actually had a history with Liz, the Dr. Octopus character, because during the fight, they say something, and not to mention, you know, she has access to Spider-Man's spider cave?
Spider shed.
That's a good one. Spider shed, and, you know, she was the one that Jimmy, you know, Miles's very own set of web shooter. So yeah,
true.
Yeah, great job there. And then Mary Jane was actually kind of a, you know, she was only on screen for a couple minutes, but
which was confusing. Like, wouldn't, if that's the case, I think Lewis kind of pointed this out last time, or when he and I talked, but wouldn't Mary Jane have realized that Kingpin was a bad guy, and why would you be?
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, let me come into your house.
Yeah, let me come in celebration of my dead husband.
I know,
you know?
Kind of weird.
I know, right?
Oh yeah, you're right. That's true. If they were so into like Peter Parker's superhero, he's like, hey, wait a second. But anyway, so do you think? Actually, I'm sorry, going back and forth from Homecoming, but so
Tom Holland.
So I'm assuming you're not gonna watch. You're not going to give Jake Gyllenhaal a chance as Mysterio. Spoilers, because I think, I don't know if anybody.
And again, out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of duty of such a my diligence of podcasting, I will be watching that, and I will give it a fair shake. Who knows? Maybe
you will pay $8.50, nothing more.
No 3D, damn it.
My thing is, if Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't come out. Booyaka, booyaka. 6 foot nut. Oh, Mysterio, not Rey Mysterio. Sorry. Jay Jones Hall played Rey Mysterio. That's a movie I'm watching like midnight.
Okay, so a great review, a great conversation. I like how we kind of went all over the place, but you know, I guess it's kind of indicative of the movie Into the Spider-Verse. It's got all sorts of facets, all sorts of faces. So, what would we review? Like, do we recommend this movie? What are we giving this?
I would give it a 4.5 thwips up.
Ooh, wow, that's a lot of thwips. Aren't you empty by the second thwip?
No, that's why it's half. Oh. I kind of ran out of thwips.
After the first thwip, I take a nap real quick or give myself a sandwich.
It's pretty good. I'd watch it again. No, like we said, we really have to work on a review, a rating system, because we can't steal anybody else's. But in terms of would I watch it again in theater, definitely. Would I watch it again full price?
I might actually watch just the thought of seeing it in the 3D. I actually might want to.
That's true. It's good. Maybe if we can get like the 40X thing where it's like the web shooters actually spit at you.
I don't want anything flipping at me, bro.
And then you can be, that's not a web shooter.
You take your glass off. Harold, what are you doing? Oh my god!
I'm part of the experience. They hired me.
I'm the 4D.
Oh, just three other D's around here. One for the front, two for the side, and one
on
the back.
This is a Spider-Man movie.
No front at all.
Oh, man. You know,
I'm so sticky.
Don't worry, it cleans up in an hour.
That is actually canon.
Yes, Peter Parker's webbing disappears in an hour.
Yeah, so do mine.
Jeez. But you got a Febreze afterwards, though. Yeah.
Thanks to your mom.
Oh, jeez, what?
Yeah.
Leave my mom out of this.
She has to clean it.
Oh, that's true. That's kind of weird. Okay, so for me, I give it 4 thwips. You know? Over a span of time.
Since
4 out of 5.
Since we didn't do this for the last episode, I think we really do need to do like a New Year's resolution of we need to come up with a rating system.
A consistent rating system.
We've been doing reviews for like
since last year, but here we are. still winging it. All right, well, that's it for the review. So, do we shill? Do we not shill? All right.
We shill.
We shill. We shill today. We shill.
We shall shill. Jinx.
We should chill, shall.
So, you know, if you like their podcast, what do you call it? You can follow us on Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual, where we will post our podcast whenever it goes live, all the fun articles that we write when we get around to doing it, whenever we share photos or fun articles that we think is worthy of all the fanboys and casuals out there.
And speaking of the articles, twofanboys1casual.com. We just had a recent, thank God, somebody wrote something.
It was an article by our editor.
She did a She-Ra episode, which is a great read if you want to take a look at it. And of course,
you can follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at FanboysOneCasual.
What?
I barely even knew it.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's all I got. You want to sign us off?
Oh. No?
Okay.
You have to try it. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. Well, that's it for us today. Two fanboys and a filthy casual. This is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
This is Harold.
Oh, okay. I did. Yay.